Marriage Today presents Spirit Gifted by Jimmy Evans.
This message this morning is called Spirit Gifted. And I want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they operate in all of our lives, whether we know it or not, but how they can operate in a greater way if we'll allow Him to use us in that regard. And I want to begin this message by making a comment that changed the world, literally changed the world. Every man is a priest. That comment was first of all made in the year 1517 by Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a Catholic scholar. And as a Catholic scholar, he didn't like some of the practices in the Catholic Church. They didn't allow their members to read the Bible. They believed that only priests could absolve sins and serve communion and things like that. And the laity were not allowed to do many things. He understood the Word of God, though. And Martin Luther, in the year 1517, he tacked the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg door, and he said these words right here. He said, "For since we are all priests alike, no man may put himself forward or take upon himself without our consent and election to do that which we all alike have the power to do." He said, every man is a priest, every woman is a priest. And what he was saying was the ministry that has been reserved to a few paid professionals is not right, because that ministry belongs to every person. And I want to stand here this morning and say, we agree with Martin Luther. He protested. Protestant, when you hear of a Protestant church as opposed to a Catholic church, Protestant means Protestant. We protest the fact that only priests can do those things. We believe that every person can do those things, that the ministry does not belong to a few paid professionals like myself. The devil has no fear of a few hotshot preachers trying to change the world. We will never change the world. We'll burn out. Preachers are burning out in droves today. Like never before, preachers are burning out, because we were never intended to do the work of ministry. We were intended to equip you to do the work of ministry. You are the priest. You are the body of Christ. You are the gifted ones. And that's what we believe. That's what we teach. That's what we practice. And so this morning, what I want to talk about is God using you and the gifts in your life to do the work of ministry as He intended. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Now we're going to skip down to verse 11. "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one," listen to this, "distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the ears should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." That is a crystal clear text of Scripture that tells us that every person is called to ministry. The Holy Spirit gives gifts as He wills to each one. You are a member of the body of Christ. You might be an eye, you might be an ear, you might be a nose, you might be a little toe. You might be a finger, whatever you are, but I'll just tell you this, especially as you get older, you find out that every body part is necessary. And those little things in your body that you really kind of don't pay attention to, just hurt your little toe and see if that little toe doesn't do something. Just hurt a little muscle in your body and see if that little muscle doesn't matter. You are gifted. You are a part of the body of Christ, and you are essential to the work of ministry of the body of Christ. And I hope you heard that, and I hope you believe that, because it's the absolute truth. The devil has constructed, and it was the devil, it was not God, the devil has constructed this demonic church system that is in America today, where just a few people are trying to do the work of ministry. It is a pathetic failure. We've lost our nation under that system, and it's time to change horses. It's time to change systems and going back to what the Bible says. And the Bible says that guys like me are supposed to equip people like you, and you're the ministers of the gospel. It's the only way it works. It's the only way my job works. It's the only way that the body of Christ works. So I want to talk to you this morning about your gifts and using your gifts to serve the Lord. And I'm going to talk about three types of gifts. According to the Bible, there are three types of gifts the Holy Spirit gives to us. And we need to understand these different types of gifts and how they operate. The first type of gifts are created gifts. Now, these are in you right now. You have one or more of these seven gifts that we're going to talk about right now. They're inclusive. They're not exclusive. They're inclusive. Every person, listen, every person lost or saved has these gifts, one or more of these gifts. They're not usable for the Lord until you're saved and you surrender them to be used by God. But you have one of these gifts, one or more of these gifts. This is Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Well, there are seven gifts mentioned there. Now, you have one or more of those gifts. You probably have one of the major, one that is a major gift, and maybe one or two that are kind of minor gifts in your life. Well, let me describe these now. And again, you've had it since birth. This is not something that you have to pray for. It's something that is resident in you from the time that you're born. But once you're born again and you surrender it, it's useful to the Lord. Number one is prophecy. And prophecy is the only gift mentioned every time gifts are mentioned. In all the different gifts that we read about this morning, prophecy is always mentioned. Well, this type of prophecy, it can mean speaking on behalf of God and giving a prophetic word, but basically this is a motivated truth teller. This is a person who's motivated to tell the truth. Now, when this gift is not righteous, in other words, before a person gets saved, and before a person's personality is sanctified, this is the kind of person who sees everything black and white and says things that are hurtful to other people. This is the person that you avoid when they walk up. You just kind of brace yourself for what they might say, because they see everything black and white. There's not a question about anything. It's actually a gift from the Lord. Now, it's not a gift that is usable by the Lord until a person is born again and until their personality is sanctified. It's a real benefit. It's a real blessing to have prophets around, because they do see things black and white, and they can bring real clarity into a circumstance. But it has to be done in love. It has to be done under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and it cannot be done with insensitivity in that area. But many of you, you just see everything black and white, and it really is a gift. It's a gift that God gave to be useful to his kingdom and to other people. Number two gift is the gift of serving. Now, it said ministry, but the word there literally means to serve. It's the word diakonia. It's where we get our word deacon. It's a servant. And so it just means practical service, administration, and ministry. The gift of helps. You just like to help people. Karen, my wife, does not like to be in the limelight. She loves to serve. She served in the nursery. She served all over this church. And she serves. She's just a great servant. She loves to help people and to serve. Many people have the gift of service or the gift of helps or the gift of administration. What a critical, critical gift in the body of Christ. Our church we just exist based on hundreds and hundreds of volunteers who just love to serve. It's a wonderful blessing. Number three is teaching. And this gift of teaching doesn't necessarily mean that you're a paid professional teacher in school. It could be, or that you're a theological teacher. I'll talk about that later. But this is, you like to instruct. You enjoy helping people to succeed by teaching them what they don't know. Could be in the children's area or the youth area. It could be in a life group, teaching a Bible study, teaching people how to be set free, teaching people how to succeed in marriage and things like that. There are certain people, and I know a lot of people, they get real frustrated when they try to explain things. And it's not good to be dependent in a job or something like that on a person who doesn't like to teach you things. I like teachers. The thing about teachers is they love to explain things. They don't feel frustrated when they start explaining things. They love to explain how everything is done. Those people are critical for people to be taught and for things to succeed. Number four gift is the gift of encouragement. It says exhorting. It just simply means encouragement. Building other people up through the word and by accentuating the positive. All of my favorite people are encouragers. They're just wonderful people to have around. I have two pastor buddies that I play golf with, and one of my pastor buddies is a prophet and the other one is an encourager. And so we were playing golf one day and I wasn't playing well. It was one of the rare times I wasn't playing well. Only happened maybe two times that I can think of. So we're playing and I'm just hitting every bad shot. You know, I'm frustrated and I'm hitting bad shot after bad shot. So I hit this one bad shot and I'm thinking, God, you know, I'm just kind of stomping around. I said, I don't know what is wrong with me today. My prophet friend says, you got a bad swing. You need to take a lesson or something. You got a bad swing. And my encourager friend says, oh, your swing looks great, Jimmy. It's probably the ball. Guess which one I like more. Unfortunately, the prophet was telling the truth. Anyway, the encouragers, they see the silver lining in every dark cloud. They just love to build people up. Wonderful. Gosh, they're such important people to have around. Number five, giving. This is a gift. My wife has this gift. My father-in-law has this gift. Many people in this church have this gift. We're all supposed to give obediently to the Lord. But there are people that their entire inclination is to give. And it says, if you're called to give, do it liberally. Give. And I've never met a giver who didn't have the gift of getting. When God gives you the gift of giving, he gives you the gift of getting. And so to the degree that you're liberal in your giving is to the degree he's going to give you more so you can give more away, so he can give you more so you can give more away. Number six is leading. Leading with diligence, it says. That means governing and guiding others. If anything's going to get done, there has to be some leaders around. And a leader needs to be diligent and Christ-like in what they do. Many of you are leaders. You show up and you can organize a chaotic crowd. You can organize a mess. You can move forward in a project where others haven't been able to do so. Number seven is mercy. Mercy people are the white blood cells in the body of Christ. They show up where there's hurt. They're very sensitive to the distress of other people. And they minister the love of God where there's hurt and problems like nobody else can minister. It says if you have the gift of mercy, to do it with cheerfulness. And what that means is sometimes mercy people, because they gravitate to pain, they can get negative, they can get overwhelmed, and they can take up people's offenses. Rather than staying cheerful and guiding that hurting person to the Lord, understanding that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so a lot of you have the gift of mercy. So prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading in mercy is, I know that I'm a leader and a teacher. I know that. Those are two things that I do. I know that Karen is a servant and a giver. Many of you have a couple, two or three of these that you can recognize. Now, can any of you recognize one or more of these gifts in your life right away? Raise your hand real high if you would. Raise your hand. Okay, look around now. See, most of you, you've got your hand up that you can recognize these gifts. Let me tell you how to know what your gift is. Okay, you're saying, well, Jimmy, how do I know where I'm gifted in these seven areas? Let me just kind of lead you through it. Number one, it comes natural to you. Where you're gifted, no one has to teach you, talk you into it. You just love doing it. It's just, if you're a teacher, you've been teaching people all your life, whatever you know. If you're a giver, you give. It's just natural. Number two, it's life to you. You just love it. It just, you don't have to motivate yourself to do it. You just feel guilty doing it. You like it so much. Number three, it's just how you see the world. It's just everything that you see. It's the old saying, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Is when you're a giver, you just see giving. If you're a mercy person, you see hurt. If you're a leader, you see disorganization and need. And so whatever your gift is, it's just kind of how you see the world. Number four, it's what gives life to others around you. It's what you do. People recognize you for it. You love to serve. You love to speak truth. You love to do whatever, but it gives life to the people around you. And so, again, I want to say these are inclusive gifts. These are all inclusive gifts. You have more than one of those gifts, I promise you, operating in your life today. It may not be surrendered. You may not have recognized it as being a gift before, but I'm praying this morning that if you recognize this, that you say, you know something, God gave me that gift in order for me to serve the body of Christ and the purpose of God in my life. Number two type of gift are charismatic gifts. Now, the word gift in 1 Corinthians that we've been reading is the word charisma. When you hear of a charismatic or a charismatic church, that is an individual or a church that believes in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. So, charismatic gifts. This is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Now, these are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are available to every born-again person, but they're not automatic. The first group of gifts were inclusive gifts that are automatic. They are invested in us at birth. These are available to us, but we will not be given these gifts unless we pursue these gifts. So let me read you a couple of scriptures to prove it now. And the first one is in 1 Corinthians 12, 31. It says, Paul says, earnestly desire the best gifts. He's telling us, really pursue the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. When he says desire spiritual gifts, the word desire is the word zeloo, where we get our word zealous. It means burn hot. There's a denomination that I heard of years ago, and their formal policy on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you went into this church and you said, you guys believe in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, here's their formal policy. Seek not, forbid not. We don't believe that you should seek the gifts of the Spirit, but you shouldn't forbid them either. Let me say something. They don't have one chance in a million of ever operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to wrestle you to the ground and make you do something you don't want to do. If you want to be used in the gifts, he'll use you in the gifts. If you don't want to be used in the gifts, he will not use you in the gifts. These are available to all of us, but God uses people who want to be used. Burn hot for spiritual gifts. Desire the better gifts. Desire to prophesy in these gifts. And to the degree that you seek these gifts is to the degree that you'll be used. Now, there are two ways that God uses people in the gifts. One way is circumstantially, and the other one is in a resident manner. Let me explain what I'm talking about. There are nine gifts here that you can be used in by the Lord, nine charismatic gifts. Let's just say you have a toolbox that you're carrying around, and this toolbox represents your life, and the tools represent the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's just say that you're walking up to a person, and you're walking up to this individual, and as you're walking up, the Lord's going to use you in that person's life with one of the gifts of the Spirit, and you look down and a wrench shows up. And you grab that wrench, and you pick up that wrench, and that wrench is a word or a prayer or healing or something that God is going to use you in to help that person. And as soon as you use the wrench disappears. All of us can be used in all of the gifts at any time circumstantially. At any given time, God can use us, and the tool appears and it disappears. The manifestation of the Spirit appears for the good of that individual or that person or that group, and then it disappears. But God can also put a resident gift in our life. In fact, if you want to be used in the Holy Spirit, I can promise you, God will give you a resident gift. And the resident gift means that tool is always there. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. Stir up the gift that is within you. In other words, he had a resident gift. Paul said, that gift is there through the laying on of my hands, Timothy. I prayed that gift into you through the presbytery. I pray that, stir that gift up. I've got a couple of charismatic gifts in my life that are resident. Anytime I stir them up, God uses me in these gifts. But I've also been used in most of the other gifts. Not all, but most of the other gifts. Let me talk about the nine charismatic gifts. And there are three speaking gifts, three knowing gifts, and three doing gifts. These are separated out. Number one gift is word of wisdom. The second gift is the word of knowledge. Let me talk about these and tell you the difference between a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. Now, these are the two gifts that are resident in my life. Anytime that I stir myself up and pray, God will begin to give me words of wisdom and words of knowledge. I was praying, let me tell you the difference between a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. I was praying one morning for a friend of mine, a buddy of mine that's in the ministry. And as I was praying for him one morning, the Lord said these words to me. He said, so-and-so and his wife are talking about leaving their church. And it's not for me. I am not leading them out of that church. I want you to tell them that they're talking about leaving and it's not for me. So I wrote him an email that morning while I was praying. And I wrote him an email and said, hey, I'm praying for you and let me just submit a word to you. And because I believe the Lord is speaking to me that you're talking about leaving the church and you and your wife, and it's not from the Lord. So he calls me later on, a day or two later, and says, how did you know? I said, well, I believe the Lord told me. I said, is it true? He said, yes. No one knows. No, we have not told anybody. But we have been privately discussing leaving our church. So he begins to tell me what's going on, which I did not know. Now, this was a really bad situation, which was in the news and everything and nationally. And he starts telling me what's going on. It's horrible. I mean, it's just a terrible, this was several years ago, terrible circumstances. And so we hung up the phone and I said, I don't blame you for being discouraged. I know I would be discouraged if I were in that circumstance, but I'm just telling you that God's telling you not to leave. He said, well, thank you, because we were discussing it. He said, I know that that's a word from God. Hang up the phone, pray for him that week, and I'm praying for him one morning, and here's what the Lord spoke to me. Now, the first one was word of knowledge. The Lord told me a fact about them that I could not have known, but God knew, and he wanted me to tell them that fact to let them know that God knew what was happening and is a confirmation to tell them, don't leave. So I was praying in another morning, and the Lord spoke these words to me. Your friend is in a storm. The devil has brought a storm, and it was just of the devil. It was of the devil. He said, the devil has brought a storm to try to destroy that church and try to destroy that ministry. And he said, I want you to call your friend and I want you to tell him this. What the devil intended from this storm will not happen, but there's rain in the storm. I am causing life in this storm that this storm will pass. And as soon as the storm passes, life and growth will begin to burst forth. Do not get discouraged. The storm is temporary, but there's rain in the storm. So I called my friend that day and I said, hey, I want to give you a word the Lord gave me. And I gave him that word. The storm passed. His church has now been in revival. His church, they're thriving. They've never done as well as they're doing right now. In that circumstance, when he was discouraged and talking about leaving his church, the Lord gives me a word of knowledge followed by a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge is knowing something that you could not have known. God knows it. He gives it to you for the purpose of encouraging somebody else or just informing you. A word of wisdom is applying knowledge. Now what do you do? Knowing that you're not supposed to leave, now what do? You encourage yourself in the Lord and understand that God is doing a greater work and the devil's not going to succeed. God will use you in word of knowledge and word of wisdom at times. It's just the most casual, normal. It's not spooky. It's not weird. It's not controlling. But you'll be interacting in a circumstance, and if you desire it and if you seek it, God will give you a word that could save a person's life, that could save a person's ministry, that could save a person's marriage, that could completely reverse the circumstances of a person and keep them from doing the wrong thing. Number three is the gift of faith. And faith means the capacity to believe God, the supernatural capacity to believe God. Now, we all have faith and we all should use our faith, but the gift of faith is just this crazy supernatural kind of faith that I absolutely do not doubt that this is going to happen. My wife has that kind of faith related to finances. I have that kind of faith related to, you know, other circumstances that go on. Now, there's only one time I could ever say that God used me in that gift, and it was a long time ago, 20-something years ago. We had worked our hearts out to launch a big new program of ministries on this particular Sunday morning. We'd worked for months. And, you know, Amarillo, the weather's pretty good on Sunday mornings, typically, if it's not snowing or something like that. I mean, a lot of sunshine, weather's pretty decent. That morning, the sky was black. I mean, the clouds were just black clouds, not just thunderstorm clouds, black clouds, lightning. I mean, like at 7 and 8 in the morning. That's just not normal for Amarillo. And so I woke up, and I went to church, and I thought, gosh, nobody's going to get out in this weather. And I was sitting in my office. I was discouraged. I just thought, you know, we've done so much to prepare for this, and I just know nobody's going to come. And thundering outside, rumbling, black clouds. And all of a sudden, I just had this faith. And I stood up in my office and I said, no, in the name of Jesus, you're going to leave. Glad you're going to go. You are not going to come and ruin what God has led us to do. In the name of Jesus, I command the clouds to leave. I command the storm to pass. And I command for the sun to shine right now. I mean, I just had this crazy faith. I am not lying. I walked out my office door, walked down the hall, opened the door. The clouds parted. The sun came out. And it was a beautiful day. And people came. Now, it could have been happening anyway, but I'm going to take credit for it. And I'm just telling you, I had crazy, crazy faith. Well, that's what the gift of faith is. You just have this supernatural capacity to believe and to act on something that God is doing. Number four, gifts of healings. Now, notice that this is plural. Gifts of healings. Both those words are plural. There are many different gifts of healings. Physical, mental, emotional, marital, all different kinds of healing. But let me just talk about physical healing for just a minute. There are many different parts of our body. There are people that are anointed to pray for infertile women trying to get pregnant, infertile married women trying to get pregnant. I'm an old beat up preacher. I know all the tricks now. So there are people that are gifted to pray for people's backs. There are people that are gifted to pray for people's hearts and all different kinds of things like that. And so when it comes to gifts of healings, and again, I'm thankful for faith healers, but I think the great disservice that's been done to the body of Christ is believing that only a few people have the gift of healing. Let me just tell you something. Some of you guys are profoundly, profoundly gifted to pray for the sick. Profoundly. The greatest healing gifts are not from paid preachers. They're from people like you. You've got to have faith in that and let God use you in that. So I'm saying, as you're praying to be used, God will just give you an inclination. He'll just begin to lead you in your heart to pray for people, and you'll begin to see results and things like that. Number five is miracles. This literally means deeds of power. It can be casting out demons. It can be displacement of spirits. It can be a supernatural act of God, coming and just moving in a person's life in a particular way. But miracles, something that could not have happened, happens miraculously. Number six is prophecy. Now, this is not just a motivated truth teller. This is giving a word from the Lord. That doesn't have to foretell the future. Prophecy doesn't have to foretell the future. It can contain that, but it doesn't have to do that. All it means is speaking something that you believe that God is saying, always positive, edification, exhortation, consolation. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. You're going to edify, you're going to encourage, or you're going to console someone with a word from the Lord, a prophetic word from the Lord. And you're just telling a person, listen, just take this and, you know, see what this means to you. I'm submitting this word to you. I just believe the Lord told me that, you know, He loves you. Don't get discouraged. You stay right there. God's going to come through for you, blah, blah, blah. And you give them a word and you walk away and that person got encouraged. And that's what a prophetic gift is. Number seven, discerning of spirits. This is being aware of the spirit realm, the invisible spirit realm, and intercessors. And it's not necessarily the good, it's the evil in the spirit realm. People who are into intercessory prayer, many times they have this gift of discerning of spirits because they know what's going on or that something's going on so they can pray. People who cast out demons. Jesus cast seven demons out of one of his followers, Mary Magdalene. Seven demons. They had distinguishing personalities, and Jesus operated in that gift and every gift. But some people that are called to do that, they operate in that gift. And also, we can have discerning of spirits for protection. You can be talking to an individual, and this individual is really evil. And the Lord will just say to you, don't trust that person. Don't do business with that person. Don't trust them with your children. Don't trust them with your money. Don't trust them with your business. There's something wrong with that person. Only one time this ever, I think I've been used with discerning of spirits, but we were in Cancun on vacation 30 or so years ago with my brother and his wife, and we were there on the beach, and my sister-in-law struck up a conversation with a guy on the beach there, and she said, yeah, we're looking for a place to go out and eat tonight. So he said, well, let me tell you a great place that we ate the other night, and he gave her the name of this place. So that night, we got a taxi. It was outside of Cancun. We drove out there, kind of in the weeds. It was on the beach, a very nice place, very beautiful place. So we drove up to the place, get out of the car. We're walking up to this restaurant through this resort. My spirit goes crazy, crazy. And the Lord is saying, get out. This place is evil. Get out of here now, right now. This place is evil. It looked beautiful. The people were beautiful. The food, everything just looked great in the natural. So we're walking through here, and this, like a red alert is going on in my spirit. So we keep walking in. I feel real awkward. I don't know what to do. I don't want to ruin everybody's evening. So we walk in this restaurant. We're sitting in this restaurant, and I couldn't get any rest. I mean, my spirit was just going crazy. And finally, I looked over at my brother, and I said, I think I need to leave. My brother said, yeah, let's go. So we got up, and we left. We walked back out to our taxi. Our taxi driver had been smoking marijuana in the car. We go back and get in the taxi thinking, well, whatever influence he's under, it's probably better than what's going on in there. So we're going to let him take us back to the hotel. So we get in there. The instant our car crosses their property line, my spirit goes back to peace. And you say, well, Jimmy, what was it? I have no idea. The people were pretty. The place was pretty. It was a beautiful resort. In the natural, nothing seemed wrong. I don't know what God protected us from, but God protected us from something there that night. That's one time that I know that I had the discerning of spirits. Next, tongues and interpretation of tongues. Let me talk about this for just a second. There are three different types of speaking in tongues that you need to understand. You'll always be confused by the subject of speaking in tongues, and other people will be able to confuse you if you don't understand. There are three separate types. Number one is the miracle of languages in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, when Pentecost came, they all began to speak with tongues, and everyone around from all the different countries heard them speaking their own languages. That's the miracle of languages. I've heard of it happening on the mission field. I've never seen it happen, but I've heard of it happening. The second kind of speaking in tongues is the main kind. It's just a personal prayer language. I've prayed in tongues for 37 years. I mean, I do it just about every day, is pray and praise in tongues. It's phenomenal, and it's edifying. The third type of speaking in tongues is in a church service, whether it's a life group or a service like this, where there's a tongue followed by an interpretation of a tongue. This is the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 14. He's talking about these two. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, listen, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit. And praying in the spirit is praying in a tongue. I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. And so Paul is saying, hey, in my private prayer life, I pray in tongues and I praise in tongues all the time. But when I come to church, I don't do it in church unless there's an interpretation. It's improper for there to be speaking in tongues. I'm talking about public. We can do it while we're worshiping. We can do it during corporate prayer. But to speak out in a tongue, unless there's an interpretation that follows. Now listen, some people might say, well, why do you have tongues and interpretation? Why don't you just bring a prophecy? Cut out the middleman. Why bother my relatives I just talked into coming to church? You know, I just got them here, and now this tongue comes, and it just offends them. So why have a tongue and interpretation? Glad you asked, because I've got the answer. 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Tongues are for a sign. Now, I want you to listen to me, because this is something we believe as a church. Listen to what I'm saying. What you win them through is what you win them to. When you win a person to Christ, what you win them through is what you win them to. If you win a person to Christ through a watered-down, powerless gospel, you win them to a watered-down, powerless gospel. But if you win them through the power of God, you win them to the power of God. If you win them through the supernatural, you win them to the supernatural, the full power of God. Jesus came and preached the gospel, and he healed the sick, and he raised the dead, and he cast out demons, and that method cannot be improved upon. We must use the power of God to properly evangelize. And the Bible says tongues, when a tongue comes with an interpretation, it's not for the believers, it's for that unbeliever. And you say, well, I don't understand it. Well, of course you don't understand it. But there's people that come to church and they're devastated. They're lost. They're searching for something. And when that tongue comes, though it doesn't make sense to us, it can even offend our natural minds. We say, well, why did he do that? This person came in. They've lost five relatives, close relatives this year. They're devastated. They're wondering why they should live any longer. And they come into church out of desperation. Here comes a tongue with an interpretation. The rest of us are thinking, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on here? We may believe in it, we may tolerate it or whatever, but we just don't understand. Why is it just a prophecy? Why is there a tongue with an interpretation? But when that tongue with an interpretation comes, that person who's seeking comes in, and through that, the Lord speaks directly to their spirit. Though we hear a tongue, what they hear is, I'm your God, you can trust me. Your loved ones are with me. I'm not against you, I'm for you. And I'm gonna use your life in a great way. Tongues are for a sign, not to the believers, but to unbelievers. What you win them through is what you win them to. I am not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. I am not ashamed of speaking in tongues. It needs to be done decently and in order, but we want God people to be won through the power of God, not through a watered-down, powerless gospel. And let me talk about the third set of gifts real quickly. And these are the calling gifts. And this is Ephesians 4. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he may fill all things, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers, listen to this, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These are calling gifts. The first type of gifts are all inclusive. You have them from birth. They're used when you get saved and surrender them to the Lord. The second type are available but not automatic. The charismatic gifts, we can all have them if we pray for them and we want to be used. The third are exclusive. These are people who have been called to these positions by God sovereignly. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Apostle just means sent one. It just means someone who influences the church at large. Someone who has a translocal influence to help and to guide churches. Number two is prophet. This is the highest level of prophetic gift. This is someone like Chuck Pierce, someone who speaks to the church beyond just giving a word for the encouragement, is giving a word for guidance to the body of Christ. Number three, evangelist, like a Billy Graham or like a Louis Palau or someone like that. Someone who not only has a gift of gathering lost people to get saved, but of equipping evangelists in the church to do their job. Number four is pastor. These are people who lead and tend the flock, loving type of nurturing people who love the flock. We have people on our staff who are pastors, but hundreds of life group leaders who are phenomenal pastors of our church here that are called to do that. And number five is teacher. And this is not like the teacher from Romans 12 who's a motivated teacher. This is like a theologian. This is someone like a Jack Hayford or a John MacArthur or someone like that, someone who's a standard bearer in the body of Christ.
Thank you for listening. This is the conclusion of the series, The Spirit-Filled Life by Jimmy Evans. For more information or additional resources by Jimmy Evans, visit the Marriage Today website at marriagetoday.com.